What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome back to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70 at the bat. Got back John Nagel with me this time around after being on assignment, as they say in the radio business, last time out. John, it's good to have you back, even though Alan did a pretty good job in your absence.
Yeah, he did. He did great. You know, I didn't know if this was going to be like a Wally Pipps situation or whatnot, but I'm glad to be back. Glad to be talking Cardinals baseball. You know, especially with things starting to heat up a little bit, so should be fun.
Absolutely, and while we have the biggest news is of course the loss of Alex Reyes, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's cover everything else in the Redbird Rewind.
He got it! Struck him out! Look at the scene on the field. McCarver, the first run. Now his infield is all over him. A new world record of 17 strikeouts in one game.
All right, so I guess before pitchers and catchers report, or maybe right after, the biggest news of the offseason that doesn't involve Alex Reyes had to be the signing of Carlos Martinez to a 5-year deal, $51 million, options for 2 more years so he could be in St. Louis for another 7, I guess I'd take him through 23 or something of that nature. Were you a little surprised, given how much the Cardinals kind of hammered in on this arbitration thing, that a extension came around?
You kind of have to wonder if they were getting pretty close, and you know, I don't know if they kind of said, you know what, here's what we're gonna do, but you know, we're getting close to a deal and you know, it's going to happen. I don't know. That's an interesting question that they, you know, we're going to take him to arbitration before the deal. But, I don't know. I don't know the reasoning behind that. That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been a negotiating tactic. It could have been that, the fact that, and I guess the other thing that we may need to get to a little bit, it did come on the heels of the hacking scandal. They may have decided they wanted a little bit of a PR boost around that time, and maybe kind of weakened a little bit of their resolve. I don't know. Probably not. I think this kind of thing is in the works long enough that didn't really play much of a factor. But it is interesting. Now, if you know, to get a guy like Carlos Martinez for the price that they are, even the option years are, I think, 16 or 17, maybe $18 million, which in 6 and 7 years, that could be, you know, nothing compared to what the top starters are getting. It seems like a really, really good deal for the Cardinals.
It does, for sure. You know, you buy out at least 2 of his free agent years, maybe up to 4. And, you know, it does. And I mean, and if you look at it, though, it makes sense on both sides. You know, and that, you know, the Alex Reyes news kind of, you know, highlights that, you know, what, you know, if that were to happen to Carlos Martinez, you know, he's still set, you know, for 5 years. So, I mean, I think it makes sense on both sides. Could he have gotten more, you know, on the open market? Obviously, but he wouldn't be on the open market for another, you know, 3-4 years. So who knows where he's at then. And he's still going to be able to have a nice contract even after, let's say it goes all 7 years. He's still going to be able to get another nice contract there. So, you know, I think both sides end up winning on this deal.
Absolutely. I mean, if nothing else, Carlos is making more this year than he would have even if he'd won his arbitration case. I think they've given him $4.5 million, which he had asked for maybe 4.2 or something like that, or maybe even 3.9. I can't quite remember where it was at. But so he'll make more money now, and you're right. He'll make more money in those 2 years that would arbitration. He might lose a little bit of money not going to the free agent market, but until you don't know. And again, like you said, the arm's got to stay attached, and we don't really know. I mean, But yeah, 24 years old, going into season 20, his 25 year old season, so he'll be 30 at the end of the contract, I guess. I guess 29 at the end of the contract. Then 30 or 31 if the option years are, you know, that really sets him up to be, you know, apparently Carlos has talked about being a Cardinal for life, and that puts him in a pretty good situation to do that.
Right.
If he really wants it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he'll get, you know, probably at that age, he'll get one more contract, I would think. And, you know, if that's really what he wants, you know, I'm sure, you know, he'll get a good deal out of it. And, you know, hopefully he does stick around.
Yeah, I mean, we would hope so. Now, with this contract, and we've kind of talked about it before, a lot of people have talked about it, you know, it feels like he should be the opening day starter. And again, opening day starter is kind of one of those things that we talk about in the spring because we have nothing else to talk about. It
right.
Didn't meet a whole lot. That being said, Mike Matheny has come out with an interview earlier, about a week or so ago. And he didn't say who was going to be the starting opening day, but he kind of leaned toward it being Adam Wainwright for that veteran presence. Is that the right call? Or I know, again, it doesn't make much matter, but we got to talk about something.
Right, exactly. You know, it's hard to, you know, become opinionated on the topic because you're right. I mean, in reality, it doesn't mean much. You know, if he wants to give it to Wainwright, because of, you know, his career or whatever, I'm fine with that. I mean, you know, in the end, they're going to end up making the same number of starts. I mean, I guess the only argument I might make for Martinez is that, you know, he'll come through the rotation quicker and maybe he gets one more start than Wainwright. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can set up your October rotation now. There's going to be off days,
right.
There's going to be rainouts,
right.
There's going to be things shifted around, things like that. So it isn't a big deal. I mean, if you wanted to line your rotation up 1 through 5 for the best pitcher is 1 and your worst pitcher is 5, then yeah, I think it should be Carlos Martinez at that
right.
spot. But
right.
you know, when Alex Reyes was in that mix, Alex Reyes might have been your second best pitcher, but he wasn't going to pitch second. I mean, he was going to pitch fifth in that rotation most likely for various reasons. So, you know, you don't line up a rotation that way.
Right.
At least right. not very often. So, yeah, it can be an indictment of Matheny's thinking if you want it to be, to have him, it kind of feel like, it, you know, 5 years from now, he'll still want to put Adam Wainwright out there for opening day. But, you know, I don't think you can fault him too much right now.
Right. No, not for that.
No. Yeah, let's back up then, first midget, because I didn't realize quite how long it had been since we talked and kind of, I guess, maybe blocked it out of my mind. But the Cardinals did finally get hammered on the hacking scandal, and I put hacking in quotes because, as people have noted, Chris Correa basically had the password. He didn't have to have a,
right.
a technological genius, you know, testing this stuff out. He pretty much just walked right in the door.
Right.
Yeah, $2 million. They lose their first two draft picks, which are actually their, you know, second round in their competitive market pick because their first round pick is gone because of Fowler.
Right.
All that stuff goes to Houston. Too hard, too light? What do you think?
So here's my first question. If the Cardinals had a first round pick, would they have taken it? And, you know, my answer to that is probably yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
So with that being considered, then I think it's a pretty light punishment. You know, they already had, I think, the second lowest draft pool anyway, and that's really where the effect is. The effect really isn't with the picks themselves. It's with the money attached to them. And so they already had the second lowest draft pool anyway. Obviously now they have the lowest by far. They weren't going to be able to get too creative, with their draft picks. And so now, I mean, I think, you know, you can still, I mean, we can probably come up with a pretty good list of, you know, round 3, 4, you know, look at Matt Carpenter, Trevor Rosenthal, mm-hmm. those guys were after the 10th round. Randy Flores has got his hands full for sure. He's, you know, that's where he's going to earn his money, but you know, it was definitely fair on the Cardinals end for sure. And you know, the Astros, they get a pretty good, bounce too. You know, I would be, if I was another American League team, I'd be a little upset. because this gives the Astros a big advantage in the draft, and you know, in a way it kind of hurts them in that, you know, they get that all that extra money the Astros do. So I think the Cardinals are pretty lucky that, and I wrote before the announcement of the punishment that this is the year to lose draft picks for sure. So, you know, I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, a weak draft pool is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And obviously the Cardinals have known this. I wonder if this punishment had come down first, then they signed Dexter Fowler, did they just have to give up their third round pick, in which case they're kind of still in the same spot. The only thing
right.
is Houston would have gotten the first round pick instead of, you know, the first round pick basically going away. It really doesn't affect the Cardinals any. I think they would have lost those picks and they would have lost that draft pool money, no matter what order they did it. Cause there were some people that, yeah, oh well, they'll hit the Cardinals after they've already given up a first rounder. I don't
right.
think it wouldn't have mattered. But you know, on right. on the whole, I think that it was about as fair. I mean, you can't find a club at more than $2 million, as Derek Gould pointed
right.
out. So, you
right.
know, they got the max fine. They gave up those two picks. The Cardinals knew it was coming. We saw, and we knew, I think a lot of us had a feeling that something like this was coming, but we saw what they did with the international market in this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went all out there. They went all out. If I remember right, they spent a whole pretty aggressive in the draft last year. It felt like they knew
yep.
that sometime this gap, and this is going to be, it feels to me a pretty serious thing, because this is one of those things that can have a lasting impact. You know, 3 years from now, you don't have a draft pick come, a draft class, basically.
Right.
And we saw that, what was that year? 2005, maybe? One year back there. That they had a draft that, like, basically nobody made the major leagues, and
right.
it hurts. I mean, you've got to have that talent coming through. So, it might hurt the Cardinals more than it does, you know, a team like the Yankees or Red Sox or anything that's going to do that. Now,
right.
Do you think this will make the Cardinals in the next year or two a little bit more aggressive in the free agent market, knowing that they don't necessarily have internal options?
I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. I think they're going to do, you know, what they think is best, you know, for their team at that moment. I don't know how much effect it has. I guess my question would be, do you think that the potential punishment had a role in the signing of Dexter Fowler? You know, knowing that they were probably going to lose draft picks, you know, did that make the thought of losing the first round pick maybe a little easier to swallow? I don't know. That's an interesting topic there. And I don't think anybody's ever said, I mean, they're not going to say anything about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But, I mean, the Cardinals have also, I mean, it wasn't like they went out and got a guy and people are like, why did they get this guy?
Oh, you know, right,
I mean,
no,
it was
yeah.
obviously a situation where they needed
sure.
this.
Sure,
and they didn't have any other way to do it. And I think they've been,
right.
you know, they looked in on Fowler apparently last year and just decided not to go that
right.
route. Yeah, I don't think it had any, I mean, you never know, I guess, but it might have made it a little bit easier knowing how John Mozeliak gives up, you know, hoards draft picks, it feels like. But
right.
I think that he probably would have done that move no matter if that was coming or not. It just probably gets
right.
a little bit extra there. So,
yeah,
I think that's going to be something to just kind of see what kind of impact that is on the long haul going forward. Yeah, so I guess we got those two things. Cardinals and Cardinal pitchers and catchers reported down to Jupiter. And it's been nice to see some pictures from there, to seeing some interviews, hearing from some players. It really gets you feeling like maybe baseball is coming back.
Yeah, it's always a great time. This is the time where I get, I just went on the vacation, the really nice cruise, but I always get jealous of, you know, trying to find a good weekend to go down to Florida and check out spring training. But yeah, those pictures, they're great to see.
Yeah. There's been a little bit of talk, and I will admit I have not read more than the headline of the Cardinals talking to Yadier Molina about this extension, and I know we've gone over that in the past. Didn't feel like, I don't know that much has changed in that regard. It just feels like, I still have trouble believing the Cardinals are going to go over the top on this, but, you know, again, with all that's going on, maybe they decide that locking up Yadier is a good idea.
I think it's an interesting dilemma they have, because can they afford it? Yeah, they can afford, you know, re-signing him, but what does it do to Carson Kelly if you give him a couple more years on the end? I don't know. I think that's an interesting it'll be interesting to see if they do it, what the terms look like.
Yeah. And again, I still, if you go 4 years or something, I think there's got to be this expectation that you're going to transition to Kelly. But,
right.
You know, if not, I mean, you hate to just trade him off because, you know, there's still value
right.
there. But
right.
you know, maybe there's more value in him being a trade chip. I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything else. I mean, we've seen some people get back. You've seen Lance Lynn get out there. Tyler Lyons is saying is doing well. Everybody seems to be happy. Matt Adams is like half the person he used to be. And that may be the most interesting thing. I mean, we've seen some pictures and Matt Adams has lost like,
wow,
I don't know, you know, 500 pounds it feels like. What do you think? I mean, you know, there's that idea that, you know, that he'll be more athletic, more, you know, able to stay healthy, things like that. But you got to figure maybe there's some issues with some power there, too. I mean, until we see him, you know, will that loss of weight factor into a loss of power?
I think that's a good question. I don't know. I'm, you know, I'm sure he was putting on muscle, too, while he was losing mm-hmm. the weight. But, yeah. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I saw a picture of him today, and you probably saw it, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know who posted it, but it did not look like him at all. And, you know, good for him for working out, working hard, and hopefully it pays off. You know,
yeah.
hopefully he can, you know, work his way into the starting lineup somehow.
Agreed. And I mean, again, I've been a much, much bigger on Matt Adams than a lot of people, through the whole thing. So I think that, I'm interested to see, because I think he was good anyway. We'll see if that
right.
makes him even better or how that affects his game. It should be fun to see. All right. Well, I think, again, we've seen Dexter Fowler show up at the camp. We've seen, you know, pretty much every, I mean, the full squad is reported. They're going through drills. I think there's a game even when, like this week or something, isn't there? I think so.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the schedule
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I hadn't either. Yeah, actually a week from today, they play the Marlins in the first,
right.
first game. It's a little earlier this year with the World Baseball Classic
yep.
going on. So yeah, this time next week you've got, we'll have a Cardinal game and, most of these games, yeah, that game's gonna be on Fox Sports Midwest. So we'll have a chance to, you know, to watch it or listen to it or whatever. It's getting here. So
mm-hmm.
it's a great thing. All right. Well, unless there's anything else, John, let's go ahead and transition into up the middle.
Alisea, the second for one, the double play. What a double play by Ozzie Smith. Oh, mercy.
All right, so obviously the big news, I mean, this is the biggest thing that we've had in a while, and it's not fun to talk about, but Alex Reyes, Tommy John surgery out for the year. One of these things that just kind of came out of nowhere, it seems like, for Cardinal fans, and, you know, it was kind of fun, not fun, but interesting to see on Twitter as soon as Alex Reyes did not throw because he was, hadn't finished his physical, everybody almost immediately assumed the worst, and the worst was true. This is big for a guy that really hasn't still made his mark in the major leagues. It's hard for him to lose a whole year like this, I would think.
Right, I think so. And, you know, I think there's more concern, at least on my part, for the future. You know, they were going to obviously limit his innings in 2017. He may not have even started the season in the major leagues. But, you know, I think there's concern about, you know, what the recovery is going to be like. And, you know, I don't think we should take for granted that he's going to come back as the Alex Reyes he was before. Obviously we hope so. And, you know, I think there's a good chance, but it's a pretty major surgery and there's been some, you know, reporting of how post surgery some guys struggle to, get their form back. But, it's a pretty big blow for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It downgrades the 2017 Cardinals chances, but
right.
not as significantly as maybe everybody kind of assumed or made it, you know,
right.
like I said. 150 innings of Alex Reyes, assuming that's what he could have gotten in the major leagues, is assuming he's, you know, and there was probably some growing pains, learning pains, stuff like that. So we don't know exactly what that would have been, but that would have probably been a good thing for the Cardinals. And to list that miss that is difficult, but you're right. It's this future. I mean, you figure 2018 is going to be a year of him trying to, you know, not only get, get a feel for recovery, but get a feel for learning the big leagues. And then you're into 2019, and you're right. It's assuming he can come back. I mean, will he be able to get out there and throw 100 miles per hour in that free and easy movement that he had? You know, that's kind of an iffy thing, I think, coming off of Tommy John. Now, obviously, a lot of pitchers still are able to bring it after that. I mean, Steven Strasburg has been fairly good, but I feel like that's the comparison, you know, because Steven Strasburg came up and he was going to be this all-world pitcher, and he's been very good since the surgery, but I don't know that he's ever reached the levels that people kind of thought of. Now, maybe they were unrealistic, but it still doesn't feel like he's quite been that pitcher that everybody thought he was going to be, and if how much of that relates to the surgery, I don't know. And that's my fear for Reyes, like you said.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't know, it's a tough position, you know, and, I heard some people saying that, well, you know, he won't have the innings on his arm or, his clock won't start yet. That's not the right way to go about it. He's surely going to be missed for sure. I don't want people thinking because, you know, his 2017 impact may not be the biggest, but he's, you know, hopefully everything works out for him and, you know, maybe, you know, next season, you know, he can start getting back into it a little bit. But, you know, I think it's going to be 2019 before, you know, he's fully ready to go, I would think.
Yeah, it would seem to be 19 or even 20, perhaps, depending on, you know, his adjustments and how he makes it in the big leagues. Because, you know, he's only had 46 innings, some of that being relief innings. He's only had, what, two or three major league starts, probably, without looking it up. You know, there's a learning curve anyway.
Right.
Then you factor in the rehab. Now, obviously, he's got plenty of people in that clubhouse that know all about Tommy John surgery.
Right.
And can give him the factor. There does seem to be a trend. I mean, the Cardinals have lost a pitcher, I think, as they pointed out, I think every year since 2011. And I think one of those was Chris Carpenter who, in 12, who did actually eventually came back a little bit. But, you know, it feels like it's more of an impact on the Cardinals. Is that because it is, or is that just because we watch the team so closely?
I don't know. I think that's a good question. And I think it's not fair for us to, and I'm not saying we're doing it, but it's not fair for anybody to kind of question things like, I don't know, throwing programs or medical staffs when we're not really there. Maybe they've just gotten unlucky, you know, for the last 6 or 7 years. I know that doesn't sound good, but I don't know. You know, pitchers on every team get Tommy John. I think just the timing of losing a pitcher in the beginning of the season, for whatever reason, I think that's just kind of, you know, snake bit the Cardinals. But I don't know if there's necessarily something to that. I think maybe they just had a string of bad luck.
Yeah, and then that's kind of the, you know, there was a little bit of discussion on Twitter about that. That I was a part of, and Neil, the baseball guy one, pointed out, and it's a data point, you take it for what it's worth, but there were, I've forgotten, 300 and something, Tommy Johns over the last 7 years or whatever, 8 years, and the Cardinals have had 9. And it was a point
right.
where if you divided out by 30, you would expect 11. So it wasn't, you know, they weren't having
right.
more than their share in that regard.
Right.
And Joe Schwartz pointed out he feels like it's not that they have more, they just have bigger names. And
right.
that's probably true. And I think that also factors into, hey, we're watching this team. We know these guys. We see this. And they're having the big stuff. I mean, we're not having a whole lot of, you know, we don't see the other teams where the guy's out for 6 weeks, 3 months with elbow problems or things like that that may not be Tommy John, but are still significant. We're just watching the fact that the Cardinals have, you know, like I said, lost a pitcher again for the whole season.
Right, right.
So now that Reyes is out of the picture, what does that mean for the rotation? Does it mean anything for the rotation? Like you said, he might not have, there's probably a more than average chance that he wasn't going to start at least in the rotation, may not have started in the big leagues. How does that rotation shake out then?
I think it's Michael Wacha's to lose, and I think it was before the injury as well. You know, it was nice to have Reyes there in case Wacha struggled, but, you know, I think it's his to lose, although it does put more pressure on him, I think. And then you kind of look at Luke Weaver as an option. I'd really want them to take a look at Trevor Rosenthal in that spot. Not saying that he should get it, but why not, you know, give him a look, see what he can do in spring training, making a couple starts. You know, those three would probably be my top three, with Waka, Weaver, and Rosenthal. And then from there, I think you may have to look for, external options as well. You know, if one of those guys steps up and pitches well, then I think this whole thing, you know, kind of goes away for 2017. And again, the impact on Reyes is going to be more for other years, but, you know, if somebody steps up and fills that spot, then, and, you know, next man up kind of thing. But I'll probably say Waka and then Weaver and then Rosenthal if he can do it.
Where does Marco Gonzalez fit into that picture, or does he?
You know, it's hard to say because it's been so long since he pitched. I don't know what his expectations would be. You know, I saw Jim Hayes, you know, said something about, you know, he sees, Gonzalez in the bullpen as used better in the bullpen. And I think there's something to that as well. You know, kind of being a long man out of the bullpen, maybe until Lyons comes back, and then you can figure things out. You know, sure, give him a chance too. I mean, why not? Why not give all these guys opportunities to take it? You know, it's spring training. They're getting their arms, you know, fired up anyway. I don't know. I don't see the issue with trying it out.
No, and again, you know, especially now Reyes is gone. You've got all those innings in spring to fill.
Right.
You're going to have a decent amount of innings with Carlos Martinez going to pitch for the World Baseball Classic, so he won't be available.
Right.
You know, some other spots like that. You got split game. You've got chances to see these guys and see what they have.
Right.
I'm still not sold on Trevor Rosenthal as the starter.
Right.
I know a lot of people are, and I understand why they would be. But this is definitely a chance to try and see what it looks like. I still feel like he's second or third, and like you said, it's Michael Walker. That's pretty much what they've said. And I think it was interesting to see, of course, Michael Walker went to arbitration, lost his arbitration case, says he's not says it's not a big deal for him, and probably isn't. I do think it was interesting to see the way the Cardinals came out and basically still said, you know, Walker's very important to us, he's still a, you know, big part of this. And you kind of compare that, I don't know if you saw this today, the Yankees went to arbitration with Dellinton Bantus, or one of their closer guy, or not closer, but
right.
And basically after they won their case, you know, their, and it's not their GM, but his vice president or something coming
Levine,
out.
Levine, yeah.
Came out and said, you know, basically he asked for the world, and, you know, he didn't have the stats and blah, 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 blah. And it basically poisoned the well, it sounded like, with him and the player. You know, when we talked about arbitration, we worried about the risk of, you know, hurt feelings and stuff.
Right.
It doesn't feel like the Cardinals have that. I'm not sure that the Yankees are as,
right.
in that regard. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard that story too, and if I'm not mistaken, there was a lot bigger of a gap, mm-hmm. With the Yankees pitcher, and I think the problem there is that he wasn't the closer, and so he didn't have closer numbers, and you know, I read something that said the arbitrators, they're not, you know, very keen on advanced stats.
Yeah.
And so when you see a guy doesn't have many saves, and he's basically a middle reliever, it doesn't go over very well, with the people making the call. But, I would hope that Michael Walker knows that it's a business move and that, you know, there's nothing personal about it, I suppose, and they're just out there, you know, doing what they think is best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's the type that kind of understands that.
And it does sound like their case was, you know, wasn't all negative. It was kind of like, this is what we, you know, this is what he's done, this is great. This is why we think there's a difference. Not to,
right.
you know, not that this guy is terrible, and I don't know why we even employ him.
Right.
They didn't go that route. So, but yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest key to watch this spring is to see if Michael Walker can stay healthy and stay effective. I know that he was doing some workouts, and I know Mike Matheny has already said, "Wow, he's looked the best he's ever looked." You know, take that for what it's worth. It's
right.
spring training, and I don't expect anything else to be said.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, what's your gut feeling? Do you think that Walker can do this?
You know, honestly, I have very little trust in Michael Wacha at this point. It's hard for me to think that he can sustain a full, 34 start season. I don't know. It's crazy how far he's fallen, at least in my opinion, over the last couple of years. I just don't believe it. And it'll be one of those things where I just have to see it continue start after start. The shoulder thing really bothers me, and the fact that they have to strengthen muscles around it to kind of overcompensate, that just really worries me. I don't know. I just don't have faith.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I don't know about a whole season. I think there's stretches. I could see him starting off the season well and going into May right. or something like that, but it does make me wonder if he can keep it up for a whole year or, things of that nature. And, we kind of need him to. I mean, you're right. There right. are options. And that may be what happens is the Cardinals are going to do a lot of floating around on that fifth spot. Now, you know, there was some talk about Jose Quintana from the White Sox, but the Cardinals making a push for him at some point in time. If Wacha gets off to a slow start or something of that nature, I mean, how long do you think the Cardinals go without making a look? Not for Quintana, for somebody outside right. the organization to bring in.
I think outside the organization, you'd probably wait a little bit longer. I don't know, maybe June or so. I have no idea. I guess it depends on if Waka's not doing it and you just don't think that Weaver could do it or who else. Then you start looking out. I think the problem is, and you know, I've heard some people with that as well on the Quintana, but you know, the same people say, well, you can't give up Delvin Perez or you can't give up Carson mm-hmm. Kelly. Well, then you're not getting them.
Right.
And so you gotta be willing to give up a couple big names to get them. And, you know, that would be one that I would, you know, even at this point, I would entertain that thought because, you know, that's another big innings eating pitcher, that, you know, would do wonders for the rotation, especially now with Reyes gone. I would really look into that. But, you know, I would think you would give Michael Wacha a month or so, and then, you know, if it's not going well, then you'd probably start internally, I guess, and then go from there.
Yeah, and like you said, we talked about Trevor Rosenthal. I think that's going to be interesting because if he does do well in the spring, but then he goes into the bullpen, you know, and it's
right.
back to that inning or two innings, you know, kind of irregular, can he ramp back up to being a starter? I mean, we've seen people go back and forth during the season, so it can be done, but how effectively in hell, you know, how much of a strain on the bullpen is it?
Yeah, I don't know. If he starts the season in the bullpen, I would think that's where he's going to go. You know, if he does well spring starting, I don't know if he has options left. I would think so. You know, maybe they decide, hey, let's go to Memphis and make some starts there and just keep your arms stretched out and, you know, we'll see what Wacha does. I don't know. But if he starts in the bullpen, I think he's going to end there.
He must have options because I know there was a lot of talk about him going to Memphis last year and nobody
right,
ever came
right,
up with the
true.
Idea that, hey, he can't go to Memphis. So,
I don't remember him going up and down that much.
No, he came up, in what, 12? It went back down, I think, that year. But after
right.
that, other than that, I don't think he
I
has.
Think that might be it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he probably does have options. And I know you get so much service time, options are a little less. I mean, you still can't be sitting down, but I don't think he's got enough of that time. So.
No. He's still in arbitration.
Yeah. So he's good there. So, I think that's going to be, I mean, the pitching staff is probably going to be, I mean, we kind of thought there we had a handle on it, with Reyes and just depended on where he would start. But now it's interesting, and I think that's going to be the thing to look at in the spring.
Yep.
All right. Let's go now to the minors report.
Oh, what a pull. In the air, left field, and Pujols has given St. Louis the lead. A dramatic, towering three-run home run. Stunned in disbelief here in Houston.
And John, you have been tackling, you and Kyle over at the Redbird Daily have been tackling your list of prospects. Let's talk a little bit about those. You know, where are you at, and who has surprised you so far?
We are posting number 22 tomorrow. We start with 30. We're going all the way down to one every other day. We're posting a new prospect. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to give all the credit to Kyle on this because he does his research. He knows these prospects inside and out. And what we typically do is he'll start the post and put his portion in. And then he covers the whole thing about the prospects. So I'm just throwing my opinion out there. I mean, he knows what he's talking about, and it's impressive to see his writing. He's one that I think he's a prospect guru that's under the radar that a lot of people need to follow. But, you know, a couple of them that have interested me the most, I think you have a couple of pitchers, Jordan Hicks. Mm-hmm. I think we're both pretty high on him. And then right after him was Zach Gallen. And I think they kind of represent both sides of the spectrum where Hicks is he's got a pretty high ceiling, I think. And, you know, he's one that I think you could see in the top 10, maybe by the end of the season. Whereas Gallen he's not flashy. You know, I think Kyle posted that he's pretty boring, but that's not a bad thing necessarily because he's got four pitches and he can throw all four of them. You know, they're average pitches, but he can throw all of them at any count. And, you know, he's going to be a guy that you know what you get from him. And so it's a good mix between those two, Hicks and Gallen. But, you know, I don't have the list in front of me, but we've had, you know, Nick Plummer. We've had the one tomorrow is Bryce Denton, which
spoiler.
Spoiler. There you go. We've got a pretty big gap. What we do is we each ranked our own personal 30. And so, you know, you can kind of see where we had them on our personal list. And there was a pretty big gap. With Denton, it was interesting to see, but it's been fun. And you know, when we put the list together, we had a lot of similarities. It was good to see that we were pretty close on a bunch of them, but you know, the differences make it fun to talk about.
Yeah. I've got pulled the list up to check it out. Daniel Ponce de Leon, Jonathan Machado, Jeremy Martinez, John Gant. I thought that's interesting that I wasn't sure what the Cardinals were getting in that and Garcia trade, but obviously at least something to have Gant
right.
ranked on that prospect list.
I think for me, Gant, I think he makes the list because of how close he is to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could come in, and what's interesting is he's got 50 innings of major league experience, and the cutoff is 50 innings. So I don't know if that means you have to have more than 50 or you have to have less. So we included him in our list, and I've seen him in a couple other lists too. So, but you know, he could be a guy that could, you know, pitch out of the bullpen, you know, maybe make a start or two at the major league level. You know, he's not gonna wow you, but, you know, his proximity to the major leagues is I think why, at least for me, why I ranked him, in the top 30.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, a guy that has actually played some time,
right.
In the big leagues, should be. It does say, 130 at bats, 50 innings pitched for 45 days on the active roster.
Right.
I would say that he would still qualify until he hits 50, until he gets
50.1.
Another out. Right. Alvaro Sejas and Nick Plummer, Jordan Hicks and Zach Gallen. Nick Plummer is a guy, I guess that was I didn't have a chance to read it, but I guess it would be a little bit hard to judge. I mean, he
right.
was it last year that he missed with the, with
yeah,
the
he missed the whole season. Yep. And I think I was a little higher on him than Kyle was. And you know, the Cardinals went through this with, Charlie Tilson.
Mm-hmm.
He missed his first full professional season as well. I think he had a hamstring injury or something, but, you know, you can't, and I think for me, he slips not because of what he's done, but because of how others have performed. And so, you know, I didn't want to knock him down too much because of this, but there's other guys that have just, you know, outperformed him, I think, because he missed the year. But he's one that I think could climb back up with a strong season. Although it'll be interesting where he plays defensively. I think they're going to try him in center field. If he can stay in center field and hit like he's supposed to, then he could be a top 10 prospect.
Yeah. Well, that will be fun to see. As you'll go, like you said, every other day, you got the good list going,
yep.
over there. So, that should be good. Anything
yep.
else minorish, that we should talk about? I mean, I guess those guys that if they don't have a big league invite, go, later, but the Cardinals had what they call step camp. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
And they had a lot of guys, show
yep.
up for that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I think the rest of the minor leaguers will report probably in like a week or two. and then their games will start, and you know, I'll get those reports on those games, and we'll see how those players are doing. It's always fun, kind of around the end of spring training, kind of taking guesses as to where guys are going to start the season, and then, you know, getting those opening day rosters for minor league clubs is almost like a second or third Christmas for me. It's one of those where, you know, you get to see, especially the Peoria one, because there's a lot of young guys. And, I wrote that about Bryce Denton. You know, if he could somehow start the season at Peoria, that would definitely help his status as well. You know, him and Hicks, if Jordan Hicks can do that too. I think Hicks has a better chance because he performed pretty well at State College, last season. But, it'll be fun when the minor leaguers start going. It was funny. I was talking to my wife the other day about going to spring training one year, and she's like, you know how much those tickets are? You know, they have these packages for games and hotels. I said, I wouldn't be going to the major league games. I'd be going to the backfields watching the minor league games. You know, those are free.
She's like, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I see I pulled up the list of people that went to the STEP campus, the spring training early program. So a few that get a little bit of a kick start. And people, you know, Jordan Hicks, Bryce Denson, Nick Plummer, a lot of the guys that you're already ranking are on that list, probably does give them that step up to hit like Peoria or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I would think so. All right, well then let's go on down to Swinging Away.
Tying run at second base. In the air to right center. This game is tied. Going to third is Pujols, and it's 9-9. They just won't go away.
We asked for Twitter questions, and I think we have the most Twitter questions we have ever had. John tapped into his followers, which are more active than mine, I think, at times. So, but the first ones did come from mine, and we've got we'll just tackle them as they came in. The first two come from Scott, Texas Cards fan one, who attempts to send us a question. His first question is, worst case scenario, and this goes back to the rotation, Walker, Rosenthal, Weaver, and Lyons are ineffective. Gomber is not ready. Then what? That's a lot of things wrong.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario. And you know, I think if you get past Walker and Weaver, then you're looking outside. I don't think you make it all the way down to Austin Gomber this season. Maybe late season for sure. You know, you might get a look, but I don't think you go that far with it. Did he mention Gant in there?
He did not.
Okay, because he's one I would look at too, as well. And there's a couple other AAA pitchers who, you know, did he mention Mike Myers?
No.
Didn't mention him either. Yeah, so, you know, there's a couple others in there before you get to Gomber, I think, but, I think after a while you're gonna have to start looking outside.
I do wonder if it's early enough, if Walker is kind of struggling to start with and they don't necessarily know what they want to do. Maybe they want to keep Luke Weaver in Memphis, which would be reasonable being that he only pitched one game there. A guy like Doug Pfister is still out there. It might take a 1 year, you know, $7-8 million contract. And you could put him into the back of that rotation and probably, you know, suck up some innings and give you a chance to stabilize.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would think they would look at that, but it's assuming that nobody else has a need for that kind of guy before the Cardinals get to it.
Right. I agree.
So, and this is right. This one's going to be right up your alley then. His second question from Scott is, Mo said he has plenty of farm to make a deal. Is there a glut down there, in the farm and is there no room?
No, I think he can make a deal. He doesn't have the prospects to, you know, get Mike Trout or someone like that. But if he wants to go get, you know, Quintana, he's got the prospects. It's just if he wants to deal him. You know, obviously he's not going to deal Reyes, but, I think, Perez and Bader and Carson Kelly, they have some pretty good trade value. So he's got the prospects to get a quality starting pitcher. It's just if he wants to go that route.
It feels to me from what I hear, and I mean, like I said, you'll know more than I, but it feels like a lot of the really interesting, talented prospects, and I think we've discussed this before, are right at that single A level, which, you know, makes it difficult somewhat to trade. Even though there's talent down there, can you get somebody that wants to take the gamble on somebody that's very, very good, but it's single A?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they would be a centerpiece, but I think that's what makes Carson Kelly and Harrison Bader intriguing trade prospects, is that they could probably produce at the major league level right now.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very likely. And you gotta wonder about Bader to some degree, just with the signing of Fowler. And there's really no obvious spot for him in the next, well, who knows how long, if Grichik plays, well, you know, maybe that is the most optional, trade chip that's up there, for Mo, to at least start a package with. I don't know.
Yep.
Your old friend and mine, but yours especially, Corey Rudd, came up with, this question. Who tallies the most quality starts in 2017? Or I guess he means off the staff. And he has in reference in last year, Wainwright had 18 and Leak had 16. Oh, wait a minute. Let me click. Okay, it was between those two. Okay, so who's telling? Yeah, just between those two. I thought reading the question was for the whole staff, but it's just those two. Wainwright or Leak has the most quality starts?
That's a tough call. I think Mike Leak's going to have a pretty nice rebound. You know, I'm a little concerned about Wainwright with all the innings he has. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Leak. That's a tough call. I think Mike Leak's gonna perform better. And, you know, I think Wainwright might be a little bit better, but, you know, you gotta watch kind of after once the innings build up. You know, I'll say Leak. Sure, I'll say Mike Leak.
I think it's very close. I can see that the difference in this could be that most likely Wainwright giving up 3 runs in 6 innings, which is a quality start thing, might get him out there for a seventh or an eight, you know, and he might wind up giving up a run in the seventh and
we're giving up that fourth run,
Whereas Mike Leak at that rate, Mike Matheny might be a little bit more likely to go to the bullpen.
Yeah,
now again,
that's a good point.
You know, it kind of sometimes depends on how the lineup rolls over, you know, if somebody's coming up to hit, all this other stuff. Even that though, I'm betting on a bit of a rebound from Wainwright. Again, I don't think he's going to be the ace that we have seen him to be, but I think he's better than he was last year. I think both of them will have probably a pretty good number. You went with Leak, I'll go with Wainwright just for the heck of it. You know, again, I think either way we could, you know, I think it could be a coin toss on what that winds up with.
Yep.
All right. We've got one from Pink Daisy 08. Cassie is someone that's started following recently. And she asks if with shoulder tightness already, what are your thoughts on Segrist's season? You know, Segrist had you know, the day after Alex Reyes, Segrist didn't pitch because his shoulder was tight. It seems like, you know, no big deal so far, but it's Cardinals and injuries. We don't know. What do you think? What are we going to see out of Kevin Segrist this year?
You know, I'm hoping that everything works out for him, obviously. Yeah, you know, you always wonder, you know, when the pitchers come back and they start cranking it up, if I'm sure that happens. And, and you know, when it happens, the club is going to be cautious and shut him down for a day or two. You know, I think if that news would have had happened by itself and there would have been no Reyes news, I think the reaction would have been different. But it was Reyes one day and then the next day it was Segrist. And so, you know, people were already, you know, worst case scenarioing it. I think it'll be fine. I'm expecting a good season out of him.
Yeah, I would think so. Again, it's going to be one of those things that we'll want to see it, you know, this time next week if Segrist still hasn't pitched.
Then I think
there's more to it than that. Assuming though that it is just kind of one of those things of the first time you really get out there. I don't think there's any reason. Segrist seems to be a guy, and of course relievers are, a little bit of variance, in his stuff. I don't know. See, I don't see that any reason why he won't be a solid reliever. I don't know if he'll ever be quite as dominant as we have seen him be in the past, but you know, that's just, you know, the way to bet on relievers. Sometimes they're very, very good, sometimes they're very, very bad, and every once in a while they're right in the middle. So, I think I don't think he'll be a weak link in the bullpen, let's put it that way.
Right.
From another one of your writers over there at, Red Bird Daily, which is, I know, doesn't narrow it down any. yeah. You got Zach Gifford, ZJ Gifford on Twitter asks, how bad will the Cardinals have to be at the All-Star game to sell? How many games below 500 are out of the wild card race?
The bottom line is going to be the wild card race. I don't think you necessarily look at the record because, you know, they could have a not so great record, but still be in the wild card race. I don't know. I think it's the All-Star break. So we're looking July 31st-ish. Maybe 10 games out of the wild card, 5 to 10. That's a guess. I think 5 years definitely within striking distance still. And I don't know who you sell. Who are you going to sell? Are you going to sell Matt? I mean, Matt Adams isn't really you're not going to get much for him. I just don't know what selling means. You know, Lance Lynn, I don't know.
Well, my first thing is I think the Cardinals could be, you know, winless and they still probably wouldn't sell. I don't feel that that's in their mentality.
Right.
To do that. And like you said, now, if they did decide to, I think Lance Lynn is a very, very reasonable possibility. I mean, that's the kind of guy, if he's pitching well, that's exactly the kind of guy that typically gets flipped. A guy that's, you know, a few months from, free agency is a guy that the Cardinals aren't, I don't know that the Cardinals are likely to re-sign just because of the numbers of pitchers that they have.
Although with the Reyes news, it might change things a little bit.
That's true. You never know, but you know, even without Lynn, for 18, assuming you do have, you know, you've got Martinez under contract, you've got Leak under contract, you've got Wainwright under contract, and then you're looking at, you know, Weaver and Reyes, if he's back, maybe you try to, but that does probably throw a little bit to it, but he's going to go out in free agency, and if he pitches as well as he has, he may be more expensive than the Cardinals want to do with the depth of the
lineup.
But anyway, I mean, that's the kind of guy that you would try to flip. You know, Johnny Peralta, they trade him now if they could. I don't think that they can get anything for him. Matt Adams, again, is a guy that they would trade now. I don't see that there's anybody that they wouldn't be willing to trade right now that they would trade after the All-Star break except for maybe Lance Lynn. So. All right, and then Basham 44, Jason Basham, asks, who do we go after at the deadline if the Cardinals are close? I don't know. You know, right now when you look at this team, it feels like the weak spot's going to be over at third base. And I don't know who would be available at third base there. You know, I kind of, you know, part of me wants to leave that open until Manny Machado hits free agency. The money there. But I don't know other than that, either that or, I mean, the, you know, John Mozeliak's always going to make his, you know, minor league
bullpen
prospect for a bullpen guy. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking third base too, but you know, I think it just all depends on how these guys play. Mm-hmm. You know, the obvious two are third base and a starting pitcher, assuming that maybe you're still kind of flipping between a couple guys, you know, for that fifth spot. But I think, if you could get a third baseman for the rest, you know, maybe for 3 months this year, and then maybe next year and the year after, you know, get somebody who's got a couple of years left, I think that would be ideal because I don't know who's playing third base next year, for the Cardinals. And I know that's, you know, that's a year away, but that's, you know, could become a problem, eventually.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of those things. And I'm sure that the Cardinals have an idea, but you're right. There's nobody in the minor leagues that's ready to make that step. So it's either, you know, Jed Jerko does that on a full-time basis and we'll have to see if that's even reasonable after this year or you got to go out and get somebody. That's interesting. All right. And our last question comes from Mark Norton, MD Norton 1 on Twitter. And his question is over or under 300 at bats for the combination of Tommy Pham and Jose Martinez.
My gosh. I hope that's under. If that's over, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I would think I would think if you run into a problem, say, you know, Grichuk or Fowler miss extended time, then you're going to see Harrison Bader. I just don't think you could trust those two guys starting for a long period of time. I think anything over 100, maybe a little bit more, and you're getting in trouble there. I don't think those guys are long-term solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on record. I still don't know what Jose Martinez is doing here.
Right.
I feel like he should have been, you know, when they were trying to free up spots for the 40, for the Rule 5 draft, I feel like he was a guy that could have been cut and they didn't. So I just can't imagine he's going to get much. Tommy Pham, if the Cardinals, you know, want to see a little, you know, if Grichuk came out of the gates hurt or something like that, then they might go with Pham for a while and let Bader get a little bit more time in Memphis, but you're right, it probably wouldn't be all that long.
Right.
And so, yeah, I would definitely think under. I think you start around between 150, you start getting, that's a little bit more of a question.
Right.
300 feels like, yeah, that's something's gone wrong.
If you get to 300, the win-loss record is not in our favor. If those guys have 300 at bats.
Then we're probably going back to Zach's question about selling off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what you want to think of. I mean, and it's hard to read. I mean, you know, I remember Tommy Pham's been a big prospect for a while, and I think Tommy Pham has some talent to play, but it doesn't feel like the Cardinals are necessarily going to be sold on that, and it's difficult.
And you can't trust them. Yeah.
And odds are, if he plays too long, he'll get hurt anyway. So, it seems to be the issue.
All right, I got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Here's my mailbag question or whatever. Right. 81.5 wins, over or under?
Over. Yeah, I mean,
over,
I still feel like even with the Reyes, this team I felt like was a 90-win team with Alex Reyes. I still think it's, you know, 87, 88, I would think.
Right.
And, you know,
I think Corey posted that tonight or this afternoon on Twitter. And, and I think, our friend, Brendan Schaefer was posting something similar to that as well. And I just have a hard time thinking, even, you know, Reyes was maybe going to give you, you know, if you're looking at war, maybe at best 3. So, I mean, I still think, you know, if you're setting the number at 81.5, it's a definite over. But I think you're maybe 85 to 87 would be my guess.
Yeah, that's when it starts getting dicey. If you really have to start thinking about it. And again, you know, that's not meaning anything. I mean, we know that, you know, we've seen a lot of teams that come into a season thinking they're going to win 95 games and they win 80. And there's a lot of teams that come in thinking they've won 80 and they're going to win, you know, they wind up in the playoffs. So, just because it's what it looks like now doesn't mean what's going to be, but, yeah, if I was to put money on it, I would definitely say, yeah, I'm still in the 86, 87.
Yeah.
I don't think they're any worse than they were last year, and they won 86 games with a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not going to say they're going to beat the Cubs or anything like that, but they should make it a little more interesting than they did last year. So.
Yep.
All righty. What you got going on over at Redbird Daily besides the countdown?
You know, we got some good stuff. I mean, my guys are, you know, they're putting out some good material. You know, when I went on my trip, I kind of gave them the reins a little bit, and they did great. So who knows what they're going to put out there, but I promise you it'll be good stuff. So, you know, I'm excited for getting the season started and the coverage that we're going to bring over there. So, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it should be. It should be.
Yep.
You know, a lot of interesting things when you've got more raw material to work with, I guess. With the games going
on. It's starting to get a little boring. It's getting rough.
Yeah. Well, like I say, week two today, we got some games and some decisions, and we see some people playing. So, I'm starting.
Somebody will get 4 hits, and they'll be the new.
Absolutely.
You know,
Harrison Bader is going to go 5 for 10, and everybody's going to say, "Why is this guy not starting?"
Yep.
So that's right.
What about you?
Yeah, I got the annual Playing Pipper series starts Monday, where I go ask bloggers from every other team about their teams, and we look at a chance to go around the league and kind of get a feel for that. I've always enjoyed doing that, and so we'll start with Arizona on Monday and then work our way through. Cardinal approval ratings are going on. I still need a lot of support there because usually we're get, you know, 40 to 50 and get a decent, database or, sample size. And right now it's about 14. So, I'm going to need a few more from there. I'll try to put the link up on the site, or definitely have been tweeting it out for a while. So if you're following me on Twitter, you've probably seen it. It takes a little bit of time, not too much. Tomorrow, Monday night, I am going to do a Facebook Live on the blog site. You can go facebook.com/C70thBat. I'm going to do it 7 o'clock on Monday night. We're going to talk. I put it out on Twitter, and the results were, if I talked, the Cardinals and Star Wars, that people might listen. It was very, very close. It was 55-45, but I'm going to do it anyway. So we'll talk of, questions for Cardinals, questions Star Wars, questions anything, basically, except for politics, because I'm not going to get into that. I know better than that. So if you want to join me, 7 o'clock, right, or you can send me some questions on Twitter, and I'll answer them that way. But I think that, I mean, this time of year, we're going to start we got the UCB roundtable that's going to come up pretty, you know, starting next week. I mean, there's a lot of fun things that come up at the beginning of the season, and so that should be interesting.
All right.
Alrighty. Well, John and I haven't decided yet, because I forgot to ask him about it, and we'll talk about it afterwards when we're going to come back to this. If we're going to maybe soon, we'll get back into the weekly thread. I don't know if we're ready to jump into it yet or not, but pretty soon. If you've gotten this far, and I meant to put it up at the front of the show, if you've gotten this far, though, we would really appreciate rating and reviewing us over at iTunes, and I need to, and we'll try to get this maybe up on a Google Play or things of that nature as well, but like us on iTunes and give us some stars, give us some reviews, let us know what you think, tell us on Twitter. You can follow John at Cardinals Farm, you can follow me at C70. We talk baseball all the time, and so if you're a Cardinal fan, I think you'll probably enjoy following us. You might yell at us every once in a while, but that's okay, we can handle that. So. All right, so for John, I'm Daniel, and we'll talk to you next time. Night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate, a swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!